Welcome to Fat Camp Show number 35. Fatbike.com presents Fat Camp, a more or less monthly podcast covering different technical aspects of fat and plus bikes. Look for all our shows at fat-bike.com/radio or subscribe to our feed on iTunes.
Welcome to Fat Camp number 35, folks. Just in case you missed our previous podcast, this is number 35. You can listen to 1 through 34 if you'd like to, but I'm not sure that would be as entertaining as listening to this one today. Anyways, I'm Andy. I'm here with my good friend Ken, and we are the Fat Camp Podcast, which is a podcast about
the technical aspects of fat and plus bikes.
Yes.
But sometimes we vary into lots of other topics.
Right, exactly. We have an agenda put together recently. We're going to hammer through that agenda, and we're going to talk to you about some stuff that's going on in our world.
Just get people caught up, because we haven't had our show in a while.
Right.
This morning we recorded the Oregon Timber Trail one, which is 34. Now this afternoon we're recording the next one. So we're kind of trying to get back on track after a busy summer where we kind of got away from producing these.
Right. We got some recent news to put out there. Ken's got a crap ton of, he's got a big huge box full of tires he's going to talk about. We do want to get into his most recent achievement, completion of the Margie Gesick.
Yes.
Yep. Maybe talk a little 29 plus love and what, keep riding your tires. Let's just put it that way at the end. All right. So we'll be right back talking about some tires.
What else do we talk about on this show?
All right. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Those are some good tunes there, DJ KBS. Let's get right into some tire talk here with the Kenda Booster. What's going on? What's Kenda got going on?
Well, yeah, so I guess kind of to back up a little more from that, we're kind of at the end of, I don't know what you want to call it, like industry show, you know, period.
For bikes.
Well, we had Eurobike earlier, and then we got Interbike. You know, we had Sea Otter, you know, months ago. This is kind of, you know, the other season of where we get new stuff coming out. And,
right,
you know, there hasn't been a huge volume of stuff, but it's been kind of interesting to see there's been some interesting stuff that's trickled out over the course of the year.
Okay.
So
why do you think there's not a lot of new stuff? We just have good stuff, you know.
Well, I think, I mean, in a lot of cases, the industry, I mean, the easy gains, the low-hanging fruit of what could be improved as far as fat biking and plus bike stuff goes, we've kind of gotten through that. Okay. And now things are starting to settle in, and people are either refining products and offering up sort of the next generation, you know, for the committed companies. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, Salsa. I don't remember the details too much, but they, I think, updated the Bear Grease recently.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, it's good to see a big company like that having a flagship, fat bike where they're refining the design and really kind of keeping it as good as it possibly can, you know, based upon what current technology is, you know, with the tweaks for 27.5 inch wheels and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the refinement end of things. And then we've started to see, like, companies filling niches that have now been identified, now that kind of had this, you know, over the last few years, these splashes of new stuff coming out. We kind of ended up having, you know, just a ton of just fat bike stuff in general for like 26 inch and carbon frames and all this stuff a couple of years ago. Then things kind of went tubeless, and then 27.5 came out, and we had kind of a flush of, you know, stuff in that kind of world. Now we're starting to see like the 27.5, you know, inch tire world kind of fill out. You know, we're starting to get more tire options, you know, is the kind of, that's one of the big reasons why I've kind of held out from 27.5 is because I didn't really like the tire options out there. They didn't really fit my riding style. And we're starting to see some options that fill that in.
Well, and is that kind of similar to what Plus did?
Yeah.
You had a couple tire choices. And now, not only do you have a plethora of tire choices, you have a plethora of tire sizes.
Yep.
To still plus out.
Exactly. And in,
does that make sense? To still plus out?
Okay. But no, that kind of gets us right to this Kenda booster.
Okay.
There's the booster and there's the regolith. There are two tires that got introduced over the course of this, you know, like summer-ish.
All right.
And like the booster is an interesting tire just because it, I hate to put it this way, but the tread design looks pretty similar to like a Maxxis Chronicle.
Okay.
A little bit deeper tread, it looks like, in the middle.
Bit beefier.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of that same type of thing where it's going to be fast rolling, but it's got some side knobs.
Okay.
Similar kind of trail layout, tread layout. But they're offering it in like a pretty wide swath of tires.
That was my next question. What can I get it in?
Yeah. So like in the 27.5, you know, you can get it in your traditional mountain bike sizes of 2.2 and 2.4, but then you can also get in a 2.6 and 2.8.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And then if you look at the 29-inch world, they're offering it in 2.4-inch, 2.6, and 2.8-inch.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, it's nice to see this spread for what looks to be like a pretty decent tread design.
Yeah, it seems like that 2.8 gap is getting filled up too.
Exactly.
People
yeah.
throwing, you know, 2.6s is good, but now we're even getting more 2.8. That's good.
Yeah, and it, you know,
it looks like an okay tire though.
Yeah, I mean, you know? It's, you know, it doesn't have me jumping up for joy like this. I think it's going to be the greatest tire in the world. However, I just think it's an awesome option, and it's really cool they're offering the different size spectrum.
Do you think it'll be a heavy tire?
I don't know. I mean, some of Kenda's tires, like, I'm blanking on what the name is. Yeah, that thing's light as can be. So, I mean, who knows how burly they're going to make this thing. Right. But yeah, then there's another tire, the Regolith Pro. And that's a lot gnarlier looking tire. You know, I hate to compare these things, but the tread layout is kind of similar to Schwalbe Knobby Nick.
Yeah.
This is also in the 2.6-inch side. It's a little more open than the Knobby Nick, though. So, you know, I could see it clearing better in mud and maybe some things like that. So, you know, I think it's going to offer some other possibilities. So, you know, they got a more aggressive tire. They got what looks to be a pretty quick rolling tire. You know, some really good options all around.
Do you think, and I'm just going to throw this out there, that it's becoming, I don't know, more and more common to have a slightly more aggressive tire than it is common to have a tire that potentially can roll faster with side knobs?
I mean, I think it depends on where you're talking about. I think we've started to get some really good options in the more aggressive plus tires and stuff like that, whereas a lot of them initially were pretty minimally knobbed and pretty light. You know, they were trying to keep them, they're trying to make them like 2.4-inch tire weights, but they were, you know, 3-inch tires. So they kind of paired off aspects of them.
Gotcha.
Whereas now we're starting to get a lot more tires with some decent knobs and more durable casings and stuff. And yeah, they weigh more, but they make it a much more versatile tire that's going to hold up in a, you know, a chunkier environment.
Yeah. I guess the reason for even asking that question was, I don't know. Is there a change in philosophy of, I want to have a chunkier tire because it's going to be more fun rather than going to be more fast?
Yeah. No, I think, well, and the thing is, you look at most modern frames, like frames that are being produced this year, if they've been updated recently, they're going to fit a 2.6-inch tire. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's like that, you know, normal quote-unquote mountain bikes.
Okay.
So, you know, you've had a bunch of, and those are some burly bikes. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's like you can get some, you know, pretty full suspension. You know, you can, like, almost everything's fitting like 2.6, which I consider to be like gateway plus, you know, tire.
Gateway plus, yes.
And, you know, and then like a lot of times if it's 29er, it'll fit 27.5 plus.
Yeah.
You know, and has the geometry adjustment type stuff, so it's not going to suck. You know, it's not going to drop the bottom bracket too much.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of really good bikes that are out there right now that are some big hit bikes that you can run in this plus world. So I think that's why that we're seeing this filling out of more aggressive tires to kind of complement what those guys might want to do.
Cool.
You know, because like when, you know, when I was out west in Oregon, there were some trails out there like in the Bend area, which at that point were just kind of like moon dust, dry, a lot of sand and stuff, where I wouldn't want to run less than a 2.6 inch tire.
Oh.
But I would like to have some suspension too, so you can really bomb stuff. So, gotcha. You know, I can see where, you know, especially like what I was just noting with the Kenda thing, I could see where like a 2.8 might be perfect on the front and a 2.6 in the rear or what. And, like,
oh, wow.
And you can kind of tweak it. And
yeah,
really,
you can really dial in what you want.
Yeah, that's rad. So, huh.
Well, good. There's a link down in the show notes if you want to check out those Kenda products. Something that actually we're staring at right now is a trailer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the trailer that's in front of us right now, and then we'll talk about the one that we wish was in front of us, maybe.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to be writing up sort of initial look at a company called Quiet Cat. They're kind of like an e-fat bike company that markets towards hunters.
Okay.
And this is kind of an accessory for their bikes.
Wait. An e-bike, fat bike company that caters towards
hunters.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean,
good.
I totally think this is a legit niche for the fat bike world. I mean, I'm not a hunter, but if I was a hunter, this is probably how I would hunt. Where, you know, what basically these dudes can do is they can get out to their preferred hunting spot, and then they've got a good, quiet, mechanized way to get, you know, their kill back.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
to get shot.
Yeah. So this trailer is basically made to haul dead carcasses out of the woods.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a similar design. You know, it's got a lot of shades of like the Bob trailer, which I've had a Bob for years.
Okay.
Probably a decade.
Yeah.
So it's got a rear suspension set up on
it. It's really fun to ride behind Bob with a chainsaw in it.
Yeah. But this case, it's got a 4-inch rear tire. It can fit any basically size rear spacing.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty versatile that way.
Is that a 24 inch or a 20 inch?
I think it's a 20. Yeah, it's a 20x4-inch rear tire.
Cool.
And it's got a Kenda Crusade.
We're like looking at it right now, just like making sure that we get every detail into this podcast.
Well, no, because I'm not going to do an introductory thing, but I guess the big thing that's cool about it is it's cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's really, to me, that's the big selling point of this. You know, a lot of these trailers are expensive. I don't remember exactly what I paid for my Bob, but I remember it was around like $350, $400.
Right.
And that's a really, you know, it's worth every cent. You know, it's a quality trailer that, you know, people are using to travel all over the world.
Yep. My kid Burley was the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. This is not of that same quality level.
Okay.
But it costs $270.
Right.
And, you know, I can think you can get a lot of utility out of this. That's what I'm going to be checking out, see how well it actually holds up.
Right.
Because, you know, they skimped on a few things to get it down to $270.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think there's a lot of utility. And depending on how much you really plan on using a trailer, if you're not planning on doing international travel.
Sure.
Do you really need to end up having all the extra features and money? It's like, you know, if you're going to do like I am, where this is going to be a great thing to like haul firewood down to the beach to go, you know, camp, you know, down at the lake.
Yeah.
Or go do like shorter bike packing things where you want to haul a whole bunch of shit, including a cooler.
Right.
You know,
well, we're going to be testing it out
for
the sub 24 we're doing pretty soon here. We're just going to do a quick overnight and back, and that'll be perfect to try it out.
Exactly. Or, you know, hauling a chainsaw or trail tools out to end up doing trail work. You know, there's a lot of good scenarios I could see for this. Because I've been wanting to have some sort of fat trailer, especially for the winter, because there's a lot of times that, you know, we'll have a bunch of trees drop, and it's a big ask for the groomer to clear the trees as well as groom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be a real, you know, that can make it go from being a doable project to an undoable project.
Yeah.
So, you know, having this tool should allow me to get out there and clear trail also in the winter more easily.
Yeah, with that 4-inch tire on the back. But there's an article at fatbike.com.
There will be.
Preview.
Yep.
Yep. And then there'll be a follow-up, and we're going to test it out, you know, see how it goes.
Yep.
But another trailer comes out, though, too.
Yeah, and this is kind of on the other end of the spectrum of, you know, badass kind of trailer options.
Yeah. This is the $400 version.
Yeah, this is the Burley Coho XC.
Right.
And it's come stock with a regular mountain bike-sized rear tire, but you can get it up to a plus-inch tire, 3-inch tire.
Okay.
You got to pay extra money for that. It's like $90 more.
Yeah.
But once again, it looks like it fits all size rear spacings. So a really adaptable setup. It, you know, can fit, you know, quick release, regular like size bikes, you know, all the way up to, you know, fat bikes and stuff. So it looks like the new generation of Bob trailer.
Yeah.
With like kind of modernized kickstand. Tire. Yeah.
Kickstand, easy release, you know.
Yeah, just a lot of cool features.
Right.
And, you know, and Burley's got a good history of making solid stuff.
Yeah. So if Burley, you're listening to this, send us one.
You know? I actually think Uncle Gomez is... got one coming his way.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think I ended up hearing something about that. I think that's really cool.
Awesome.
I think that's a really good option for riders.
Yeah. Cool. So, Kenda, a couple trailers. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the test hoppers. Are back. We failed to mention that the adult beverage that we're drinking are coming straight from glasses that are meaningful to both of us.
Yes, victory cups.
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm drinking out of my Michigan Coast to Coast gravel grinder mug.
212 miles.
Yep.
And I'm doing
fourth place. That was my spring.
Oh, woo! That's right. Fourth place.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'm pretty stoked about that.
And I am drinking out of my only 100 mile finish, Lumberjack 100, barely.
Yep, 2016.
Oh gosh,
June 18th.
Don't let me think about it again. Jeez. So, anyways, the UPS man has stopped by Ken's house and he brought just loads of stuff.
Yeah. So besides the trailer, which I'm, you know, super excited about, I've got all sorts of wheel stuff that I'm just like out of my gourd on.
Yeah, we got a 20-minute intro to what he's going to be testing here and coming up soon. What do you got?
So let's start with the one oddball, which is the Terrain Johnny 5.
Yeah.
So Gomez has already posted a first look this tire on the website and given all the dimensions and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, long story short, this is a direct competitor to Bud and Lou. You know, it's supposed to end up sort of rivaling that. And they're almost identical in size. You know, like they're measuring out on 100 mil rim, basically 4.8 inches.
Yeah.
Real aggressive tread. You know, so I'm super interested to get on those. I can't wait to try them out. I'm going to mount them up at some point soon. I got to do a little wheel repair before I do that.
Right.
Broken spoke. I didn't realize I had it until I like just took the wheels off of my yellow snow bike, my deep winter snow bike, which I hadn't touched for a while. And I put on 29 plus wheels and I was like, oh, got a broken spoke on my 26er wheels, my fat wheel. So got to get those going. And then I'm going to start doing a little bit of beach riding, but you can't really tell a whole lot with beach riding. It's just not the same whatsoever at all. You get some nuance of, okay, how much float does it have and how much grip, but it's not like with snow.
Okay. So it's going to be a while before you.
Yeah. I don't expect anything from me on the Johnny 5 soon,
right?
Because it's just going to be, I mean, if I feel like I start to get a good impression of what it can do, because we happen to get some conditions that allow that, I'm going to write something about it, but I just don't think I'm going to be lucky enough to get those conditions soon.
Right.
So that's a tire I'm super excited about. It's probably more of a midwinter thing.
Approachable for a ton of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But then you've got, you know, the ugly stepsister wheel.
Yeah, so I've been kind of holding off on the 27.5 fat stuff just because.
Why?
Most of the tire options were way too small for my size and where I ride and how I ride. So, you know, it's like there's some times where, like with spring snow, when you kind of get the freeze thaw cycle and you hit it right when it's really hard, where having a 4-inch tire is great, but. I mean, like a lot, like if you look at those, the Maxxis Minions, they measure out like something like 3.7 inches on a lot of, you know, carbon rims and stuff. It's like, they're a puny little tire. And they just, you know, unless you have those super hard packed, you know, conditions, spring snow kind of conditions, that's just too small a tire for me. And I can't stay on top of the snow enough to like have that be functional.
Okay.
So there weren't. I mean, there was like basically what it was, the Narwhal and the Barbagazi. Barbagazi is a little bit faster roll, and the Narwhal is a bigger knobbed tire. Those were the options as far as anything bigger than 4-inch by, you know, 27.5.
Okay.
But luckily, we're starting to get some other options now starting to open up, which we'll get into some specifics on. But Uncle Gomez sent me a pair of the Pub 27.5-inch carbon wheels, you know, cool. DT 350 hubs.
What's the width on the rims?
I don't know if it's 70 or 75. I think it's okay. 75. Right. A little bit narrower than the set that you've got.
Yeah.
And I know you've been really happy with, you know, your pub wheels.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and it's a super compelling, you know, product. It's like, I can already tell you right now, I mean, tubeless, whoop, no yep. problem whatsoever at all. I've mounted up a few tires on them, and it's just like, bam, right in, no fiddling at all. Huh. So that's super nice. Weight's pretty decent. So I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of forming the basis for it. And then I got a bunch of tires to kind of go with those. So I got a pair of 4-inch Terrain Cake Eaters. So I'm okay. excited about that because I've now got, you know, a 27.5 4-inch. Last year I tested a 26 by 4-inch. So I've got a direct comparison. Same exact tires.
Right.
26, 27.5. And I can just kind of play around with that and just kind of see what
yeah.
what it does float-wise for
okay.
me. Then I also have the 3.8-inch by 27.5 Van Helgas.
Okay.
45 North tire, which just got released.
Yep.
So that's going to be another 4-inch tire that I've been really wanting to get on.
Is it a 3.8-inch tire? Is it a 4-inch tire?
Well, see, I haven't actually mounted it up and taken dimensions yet, okay. but I did kind of put the two tires before mounting them, you know, like they're just kind of rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3.8-inch Van Helga casing is probably a centimeter, probably not quite that much, probably like 7 millimeters or something wider bead to bead than the 4-inch cake eater.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, their listed sizes are not right.
Okay.
And I haven't had them mounted up really and taken measurements to really know who is the one that's off.
Right. Okay.
But it's an interesting tread design, a little more aggressive than the cake eater in that 4-inch size. So I think, you know, it looks like it's going to be one of the higher volume 4-inch options.
Okay.
So that it starts to get more into the realm of a workable size for somebody my size and weight and riding conditions. But then the thing that the tire that I'm most excited about in the 27.5 is a pair of 4.5-inch cake eaters.
Wow.
That was the one that I mounted up as soon as I got this box because yeah. I wanted to see how big they really were. Because like I said, the thing's been keeping me out of 27.5 fat is the lack of big options.
Right.
And this is a big option. You know, it's like this is a true 4.5-inch tire.
Would it fit on most fat bikes?
That's the thing that I'm going to be really interested with that I haven't played around with.
It'll fit.
It's a big diameter wheel.
On your Triple B, though.
Yeah, you know, I for sure have a bike that'll fit it.
Yeah.
But it's a really big diameter. Like when I hold it up next to my 29 plus wheels,
yeah.
it's way bigger than they are. Like diameter
oh, really?
Wise. Yeah, it's like an inch bigger in diameter.
Okay.
So I gotta take some real specific measurements. I know I've got a bike that'll run it, but
might not have a bike that'll run it though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, in your case, I think you'd be all right because you've got sliders on the rear. So you could kick that rear wheel all the way out back.
Yeah.
And then you'd have probably enough height to handle it.
Okay.
And then most people's forks can handle it no problem because, you know, you have a suspension-corrected fork on most fat bikes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay.
So they're plenty tall that way.
All right.
And, you know, so it's not crazy wide. It's just, it's a really big diameter.
Okay.
So, and it seems like, and once again, this is me talking without having really done my research, but it seems like the knobs are taller on the tire. Like, the 26 by 4-inch cake eaters seemed like it had fairly short knobs in the middle. And then it's like, I want to say they were like 4 millimeters or shorter in the middle. And they went up to like 6 millimeters on the side knobs or something like that. I'm not positive on that, but this, like I ended up throwing some calipers on this one and it had deeper than 4 millimeter center knobs.
Okay.
So it's like, I think that it's kind of a more aggressive cake eater.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, What I'm going to be interested in this, it's a long way of saying this, but I'm going to be interested to see how this compares to a 26 by 4.8-inch tire.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's obviously smaller in width, but it's bigger in diameter.
Sure.
So that's going to end up helping out the float. And this is kind of the Bontrager theory, which, you know, they talked about in one of our earlier shows when we interviewed the Trek guys,
yeah.
Like Travis Brown. And he was saying that, you know, you can add volume more efficiently by going with a bigger diameter than a wider width. That's why, like, when you see old school tractors and stuff, they had these big, tall, skinny tires.
Yeah.
So, you know, it helps so that it keeps your rolling resistance low. You still end up having really good kind of like cornering railing traction.
Yeah.
But you still, but you get benefit of more float.
Okay.
So it potentially could be a more efficient way to do that. And that's what 27.5 really excites me about. These tires that have been short and skinny,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, yeah, that's really good for summer riding. If I was riding my fat bike on dirt, yeah, I want a short, low profile tire. So I kind of minimize the bounce. But when it comes to winter, I want float, you know, mm-hmm. I want traction, you know, those kind mm-hmm. of things in a lot of conditions, but I still want the bike to roll efficiently. And this is a very compelling concept if you can actually get the big diameter wheels.
So you have a 4-inch, a 3.8-inch, a 4.5-inch by 27.5 to test out. Two of them are Cake Eaters, one's Van Helga. You're going to strap all this stuff onto a frame to make those wheels, right?
Yeah, the pub wheel set.
The carbon wheel set, yeah. You've got a lot of work to do this winter.
Yeah, no, I'm super stoked. Yeah. And, you know, like, basically, I would, just before we started recording this, I was just airing up the 4-inch Cake Eaters on those 27.5 wheels.
Okay.
I'm going to throw that on my yellow snow bike.
Okay.
Which I've right now got my drop bars on.
It's a Frankenstein bike.
Yeah, it totally got a complex right now. Can't figure out its identity.
Wow.
Yeah. So, cool. You know, it's like I'm going to start rocking those already. I'm really looking forward to ripping around on it, just getting some dirt time to see how it all feels. And then, yeah. You know, I'm going to mess around with the Van Helgas a little bit too. Yeah. Probably won't touch the 4.5s until we actually have some snow.
Yeah.
But,
Well, and you kind of took a week off, so now you can get back into riding it. What was the week off for?
Yeah. So it's like I'm kind of taking a little break in my season reprieve. Right now. Yeah, because I ended up doing the Margie Gessick 100 last weekend.
Okay. So Gomez just interviewed Todd, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Todd Paquette.
Okay, up there. So Fat Bike Radio, I didn't get to listen to it yet, but I'm sure that interview talks about what the heck's going on with that race.
Yeah. Okay. It was an easy year.
What was your take on it?
Oh, it's an awesome race. Okay. And, you know, I'd recommend a lot of people do it if you're burly. But
would you recommend a lot of people not do it, though, too?
Yeah, it's like if you're not burly, you don't even think about it. It is a really, 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 really hard race.
Okay.
I mean, there's just no getting around it.
Okay.
The concept of it, I absolutely love. I mean, that is an area that it's got some just amazing trail.
And you get to hit all three major spots.
That's exactly it. Yeah. You know, and so it's like you've got Marquette North, mm-hmm. you know, which is the Harlow Lake area and stuff. And there's a lot of really good riding there. You know, some of it's a little more flowy, but, you know, some of it's pretty technical and chunky.
Yeah.
A lot of like some slick rock spots, which are sweet.
Nice.
And then you've got Marquette South,
right.
where you've got, you know, some really good machine built trail. You got some of the more old school stuff. It's a real good mix there. You got stuff like by Marquette Mountain. Then you've got the whole other like Ishpeming Nagani area.
Yeah.
Where the Rambo. I don't remember which it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got a whole nother thing going on out there where it's all this hand built trail, really technical. It's less flowy, but at the same time, it's just incredibly good trail.
Yeah. Just to give you some perspective, the last 15 miles estimates, how long is it going to take you to do the last 15 miles?
If you're feeling good, 2.5 hours.
If you're feeling good, it's going to take you 2.5 hours to do that last 15 miles. Which,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's an incredibly, I mean, so what is there? It's like 12,000 feet of climbing.
12,000 feet. Yep.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's death by 1,000 paper cuts. You know, just all these short climbs. I think, you know, there's one climb that approaches like 600 vertical feet at a pop, and that's kind of at the midway point, right around 50 miles. You're climbing up to the top of Mount Marquette, the ski area. But that's a rarity. Most of the climbs are at best 100, 200 feet of vertical, and it's just, you know, steep, chunky, technical, keeping you on your toes, constantly going up, going down. You know, they've built in enough kind of getting in between these trail systems or within the trail systems, you know, enough places where you can kind of get a little reprieve, you know, and then you're just like, you're back in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty unrelenting. Huh. Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, Jeremiah Bishop, one of the fastest guys in the country, he set the course record this year and just broke 10 hours.
Okay.
You know, so in if you look at it, you get a belt buckle if you finish under 12 hours. And there was 19 people that were able to get a belt buckle this year out of, like, I don't know, it was over 350 starters in the Hundy.
Yeah.
It was like close to 400 people in that.
Oh, so they also have a 50.
Yeah, they've also got a 50. Yep. So I guess, you know, you got to be pretty burly to get under 12 hours.
Huh.
And this was a perfect weather year. You couldn't have better conditions for the race.
How wide were your tires?
I ran 2.6s front and rear again. So I absolutely love that Maxxis Recon on the front.
Okay.
So I've had such good success with that out in Oregon. I love it back here in Michigan. There's very few trails that you can ride in, like NAR, or, you know, like basically ride out west in NAR, ride Midwest, or, you know, like, because Marquette and Brevard have some similarities, mm-hmm. you know, as far as, like, you know, what you want equipment wise, you know, a tire that works really well there and works really well out in Oregon or whatever. Okay. And then I also like it here in Michigan. Huh. That's unheard of. You know, normally it doesn't.
Yeah. You're going to make a switch.
Yeah. But it's just, it rolls fast. It's held up fairly well as a front tire. It's got really good cornering properties and it's got really good braking properties. So it just kind of checks all
there
the boxes.
Go, yeah.
And it's fairly light.
Huh.
So I just love it. Running that on my single speed for, like, the, you know, specialized for around here, as well as my burly bike.
Gotcha.
And then on the rear, I really debated on tires, but I eventually ran that Victoria 2.6 Mezcal.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason for that was because it's kind of on the heavy and, like, the casing just seemed really burly. They have a good reputation for casing durability. It's a still a fairly fast rolling tire. It tends to, like, shed mud and kind of just be a really good versatile all-rounder.
Yeah, enduro guys ride that, I think.
No, it's not that burly.
Okay.
It's like where you'll see the it. So if you look at, like, Tour Divide, like, the if you look at, like, you know, they had a great article on bikepacking.net, .com, whatever it is, where they ended up looking at all the starters.
Oh, right.
And it's like you had a ton of people on 2.2 icons. Like, I want to say it was like 50% of the field or something crazy, or 40%. But then it was like 20-30% of the field was on these Victoria Mezcals, but
okay.
In like the 2.2.
Oh.
Because it's a fast rolling, hard wearing, durable tire. It doesn't do anything great, but it kind of just really nails that all rounder.
It'll always be there for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, the day before when I was pre-riding, the two guys I was riding with, they had Maxxis Ardent, I think it was like 2.35, 2.4, whatever, front tires. And then they had a 2.35 Icon on the rear. And mm-hmm. they're like slipping all over the place. And I'm just like locking up.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, it's a real good all-rounder tire. The only thing that I haven't liked for that tire is, like, when you get into wet routes that are kind of like perpendicular to the trail or whatever, it's the tire's got a center ridge that is interrupted, but it's predominantly got a center ridge.
Okay.
And there's been times around here where just when I'd be on wet routes and things like that, in that scenario where that center ridge kind of keeps me from having anything that bites in. And it's like, you just go, okay. But there was enough rock and variability to the trail in Marquette or any other, like, kind of more gnarly place. It's only like pretty tame places around here where I noticed this behavior. It's that thing that's weird about it. That's the only thing I can say that kind of isn't ideal about that. But I guess, and then the other good thing about it, I'm sorry I'm dorking out so hard on this tire, but
no, that's what the show's about.
It's tall. It is a true 2.6 inch tire. I've got on like a 35 mil internal width rim.
Okay.
And, but it's a really tall tire. So it gives me like an extra, like, I don't know, it's almost like a quarter inch of height from, you know, to prevent tire bottoming out and
right.
pinch flatting.
Okay.
So it gave me a lot of extra insurance that way. And I debated going with the Bontrager XR2 or XR4. I think it's XR4. XR2. No,
I
can see it. Yeah. It's bike behind me with it.
Gotcha.
I really debated going with that or going on the more burly end with a 2.6 inch knobby neck, basically using the knobby neck that I had out west.
Yeah.
Which I kind of wore down, and I love that tire right now for this kind of terrain. Like, if I was just going to ride it hands down, I'd go with the knobby neck. But if I'm going to race it and I want to go fast, that Vittoria was a good option. So, yeah, so that's the dorkitude about bike stuff.
But why do you, let's talk about worn down tires then.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan now.
Are we done with Margie? Or you?
No, we can talk about Margie too.
But yeah, you want to talk about worn down tires?
Well, I want to talk about Margie.
Okay.
How'd you do?
I did well. Okay. I didn't. The stars did not align in my favor to do as well as I want. I wanted a belt buckle, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really what my goal was.
You took a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
Well, yeah, so out of the gate, things didn't work all that great. So like within the first 100 yards of the run, like you start off and you got a Le Mans style start, which was rad.
Yeah.
We had this like rainbow colored like unicorn leading us out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen video of it, there's video out there of it.
Yeah.
So we start this Le Mans style, you know, so you got almost 400 people running in a pack behind a rainbow unicorn on ski trails, which are like pretty wide. It's like, I don't remember, like 40 feet wide or whatever, but it's, you know, all kind of grassy. And I step in a hole and I feel my back tweak. Like, you know, it was definitely something inside shifted, you know, like sharp spike of pain type of thing.
Not even on the bike yet.
No. So, jeez. But you know, it wasn't that bad. I could ignore it. So that was just like this lingering pain that just like kind of stuck with me for the first 50 miles. Mm-hmm. And then it tapered off a little bit. Or I think it was more like the crescendo of other pains surpassed the pain that had been generating.
Yeah.
Didn't really kick my ass again until after I got off the bike and then couldn't walk and things. Right. But, so it started off with that way. I was in like right around top 20 or so.
Mm-hmm.
When we go through the tunnel, like go by Lowe's and we go underneath the highway there or whatever. So I was right around 20th. It was doing really well. And then we started getting to the South Marquette trails and basically I lost where I was going.
Right.
And ended up heading down Dogger, which is like one of the downhill trails there. And you basically kind of go up to this point where there's like a bunch of trails that branch off. There's the A line, which is what I should have taken.
Right.
But I went down Dogger and you drop down. I don't know what it is. It's like 500 vertical feet or something like that.
Yeah.
I get down to like the parking lot and I start seeing arrows, but they all like point in the other direction. So I'm like, shit. I got off course.
Go up.
So yeah, climb back up down Dogger, meet up with where the trail was, drop down A line, and then I get to the unofficial aid station that's at the South Marquette trailhead.
Yeah.
In that time, I had a couple buddies that were riding it also. I had dropped them a ways back. And if I remember right, I think it was about 15 minutes. My friend Brian, who I had dropped about 15 minutes prior to that, he had hit the checkpoint.
Yeah.
And then the other buddy I had who was even further behind, he had gotten to the checkpoint 5 minutes before me.
Okay.
So I got out of there before, you know, my slower buddy who was still there, and then, you know, got out, come to find out the aid worker, note to self, deal with your own shit. You know, like when it comes to like, you know, your hydration bladder and stuff like that, just make sure it's right. I just handed him my Camelback and he, you know, I was thinking he could fill it up, but he ended up putting the bladder in backwards. So it was like the screw top was like hitting me in the back and it was painful. So I noticed that, but I'm like, okay, I don't really care about that. I can ignore that for a while until I need to fill up again. But then you get into some pretty chunky trail after that. And this was a little bit frustrating because I was starting to work through traffic. A bunch of the people that were in front of me couldn't ride this shit. So I actually had this like great section where it's like, I was able to just like bomb through all this technical stuff. And I didn't have a bunch of guys in front of me that would screw me up.
Right.
And I kind of get to the, you know, 3/4 of the way through that section. And I just start feeling like water, you know, energy drink pouring down my ass crack.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm like, oh shit, he probably didn't put the top on tight enough. So then I had to stop, flip all that stuff around, tighten it up, and then get going again.
Work
through traffic, you know, again, like some of the people I just passed.
Lose more time.
Yep. So I don't, you know, none of that was ideal. I would guess I lost at least 20 minutes in that whole thing.
And
the, but the cool part was, yeah, then coming up the backside of Mount Marquette, I got to ride with Ben
Welnack.
Thank you, Ben Welnack of Mountain Bike Radio. I didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah.
He realized it later on, maybe another 20 miles down the trail when we saw each other again. He saw my name on the nameplate, but he was riding super strong. And
cool.
Yeah, he and I were leading our little group going up the back of Mount Marquette.
Nice.
So then I get up to Pioneer Park. I meet up with my other buddy. Mm-hmm. I finally caught up to him again. So he'd gotten into the aid station a little bit before me and was still going. So he and I then rode the next. So that I think that's like mile 65 when you're at that, like your actual drop bag.
Yep.
So then you ride a lot of the trail up in the Ishpeming Nagani area. And that's such wonderful. All hand-built trail, chunky. A lot of people say it doesn't have flow, but it actually has got some decent flow. It's like if you can see the bedded in lines of where you're supposed to go. So it's pretty easy to like kind of shoot, but you got to have confidence. You know, if you are rolling up to stuff and like stopping and like looking at it, you're going to end up probably walking down it. But it's like, if you just shoot it and you can carry your momentum, it's got some really, 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 really good riding. So
gotcha.
You got to end up being very good at sight reading trail if you don't know it. And it's a fun.
It's pretty
section.
Unique stuff.
Yeah. Okay. It just kills you by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, these short, steep hills. You got technical, like, you know, hairpins you got to get around, you know, all this stuff, like these features you got to end up kind of weaving your bike through and over and around. So it's like, it just keeps sapping you. So you got that for like 20 miles, 25 miles, whatever it is, that gets you back to Pioneer Park where your drop bags are.
Right. You hit that same spot twice.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, Brian has ridden this before. I rode it last year, dropped out after like 20, 25 miles cause slit tire. He did it 2 years ago and he got his belt buckle.
Yeah.
Brian's a really strong rider. He went to school up at Northern and Marquette. So, you know, he's really embedded in the area. He's ridden the trail a lot, got great technical skills.
Right.
So he and I are talking and he's like, you know, when you leave Pioneer Park to finish out that last 15 miles, you know, you need at least 2.5 hours to make the mark. And we were kind of doing the calculation of, all right, we're going to make it under 12 hours or not.
Yeah.
So I started feeling a little bit better, like maybe 5 miles out before going to that, you know, drop bag location again. So I just started kind of gunning. I was like, all right, I'm going to shut off my brain. I'm just going to go for this. If, you know, it's like if I'm in with a shot, there's no reason to look at time anymore. There's no reason to look at, you know, any kind of pacing. Just have the map on my GPS and go and don't even think about, am I going to hit the 12 or not? Just go.
Right.
You know, go as fast as you can. So that's basically what I did. And I mean, it took me a good 2.5 hours. I kind of blew up for the last 10. That last section, like, man, flannel shirt and AMFM are some really awesome trails, but just take it out of you. Yeah, it's like it was just really, really hard through there. And, you know, I ended up finishing like 20 minutes after the cutoff.
I wonder where you could have got those 20 minutes back.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if I hadn't gotten off course, I would have been like right in there.
Right there.
Which would have been nice.
Right.
But.
Well, it says how difficult of a race it is when you've got riders of calibers like Bishop, you know, 10 hours, like barely.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He just broke it by like a couple minutes.
Yeah. Jeez, oh, Pete. Huh.
Yeah, well, those are people that, you know, our local 100-miler can finish it in like 6 hours or 6.5 hours or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. I won't be going to Margie Gessick ever. I don't think so.
No, Margie is, it's a really painful
I might
experience,
bike pack it, though.
No, that's the thing I left from it. It was like, I'm feeling less and less racy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the concept of riding all the badass trails in, you know, the Marquette, Ishpeming, Nagani area.
Right.
Is a great concept. I just, if you did it over the course of 2 days and you camp someplace in between or whatever. Or heck, I mean, it's like there'd be plenty of options where you could stay at a like a hotel or something midway. So you don't even have to carry a bunch of heavy crap,
right?
You know, and like you can resupply because you're going through population areas. You wouldn't even have to carry like a, you know, stove or any of this. But it just do it over 2 days and kind of have it as a route. Mm-hmm. That would be super, super rad.
That sounds like a much better idea and way more fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's much more approachable for most people. You still get all the good trail, and I think you might actually enjoy the trail more because it's kind of death marchy at the end.
Gotcha. I have been enjoying trail recently because I have not replaced my rear worn out tire.
Getting a little steezy out on the trail, skidding around.
It is a lot of fun. Trails are really worn out right now. They need some detritus on them.
Yeah, you get, you know, like around here, we get a bunch of rain, so then it washes sand kind of down the trails.
Oh, yeah.
And then so you get these sand pits and stuff, and, you know.
But the trails, you know, it's just, it's worn, and this rear tire has been wonderful.
Yeah, you got a really worn out Ranger, WTB Ranger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like all the knobs are like cones now. They're not really, there are no sharp edges
They're
on anything.
They're more like domes.
Yeah.
So don't replace your tires until you
get
really
steezy,
need to.
Have exactly. fun, get a little drifty out there.
Exactly. I think it's going to wrap us up. You can email us at fatcamppodcasters.
Plural.
At gmail.com. You can check us out on the Instagram at Fat Camp Podcast. We're there too. Every once in a while, I'll try to throw up a picture. Heck, and if you ever want to, if you're ever in Michigan,
yeah, look us up.
Let us know. But good, we're back. And
getting into the fall season. We're getting in fat bike season.
Exactly. We're going to go to Brown County and we're going to party down there. So we'll talk about that later on. But thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you later.
Cheers. Thanks for listening. The music we are using on today's show is from Conga Semena, hopefully I pronounced that right, and their song UP Boy. You can find all our shows at fat-bike.com, including notes for today's show.